Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, styling school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER, Lower Extremity Review, and MVP Parent Magazines, and UK Health Radio. Everybody, hey, happy Fruits and Vegetables Month. Got a great doubleheader today. Dr. Salman Khan, he's the CEO of the National Foot and Ankle Partners and Healthcare Leadership Specialist. He joins me along with, from Nigeria, Kalu Confidence, a health copywriter. She is a Leap Alliance Diabetes Amputation Prevention Advocate, and she's a physiotherapist and a sports doctor's in with some Bob Guider wisdom. And you email Dr. Salman Khan. Welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Dr. Salman, give us some background on yourself and the National Foot and Ankle Partners.
Absolutely. So first of all, thank you so much for inviting me to share a little bit more about, you know, what the vision and mission of National Foot and Ankle Partners is. But in terms of my own background, I am a physician by training. I was actually, you know, the aspiration for me was to become a general surgeon and a cardiothoracic surgeon when around 13 years ago, I essentially got an opportunity to join the corporate side of healthcare at a firm called McKinsey & Company. And that's how I moved to New York, where I started working on, you know, all kinds of strategy, organizational, operational issues for some of the largest healthcare companies in the U.S. and abroad. And then I was at the Boston Consulting Group, where I started specializing in the health insurance industry and working with the management teams of the largest health insurers in the U.S., as well as some of the largest hospitals, such as New York Presbyterian or Dana-Farber, on a range of, you know, like leadership issues, such as setting, you know, growth plans, operational efficiency, et cetera.
Good luck to you with the healthcare world. And then you married a podiatrist, a podiatric surgeon, right?
Exactly. So that you know, that actually sort of brings me to how I came to this world. You know, around 6 years ago, I met my wife. She was a podiatric medical student at Temple University. And I had no idea I was marrying the profession through that. But you know, I went, you know, basically lived life with her as she was a resident, and when she started practicing, I was helping her out, and that's what really got me introduced to the world of podiatry. And you know, through my, as I mentioned to you, my background is in, you know, broad-based, large-scale healthcare. I was always,
well, that's why we want you on the team, Doc. The for 40 years, give or take a few weeks, on the Sports Doctor Radio Show, we've been looking to include the importance, the integral importance of podiatry, whether it's in sports medicine, whether it's in overall health,
yeah,
whether it's in the whole world of youth sports, et cetera, et cetera. And the having the background with all of this, again, you know, the healthcare industry, that's why I said good luck to you. Sometimes we see these challenges with insurance companies and the war between attorneys and insurance companies and doctors. And we all know that the insurance companies probably won that one for a while. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about, again, you know, the challenges of the healthcare system. You're talking about working with some of the largest groups, the integration of all of these entities, you know, multiplied by 1,000 between the pandemic and everything else that hit us with the world of mental health, all these things. What's your feeling on how the healthcare industry is moving towards positive challenges?
Yeah, so absolutely. So first of all, it's been an evolution, right? Over the last 15 years, The challenges underlying this entire healthcare ecosystem is that the incentives are pretty perverse and entrenched. But in terms of positive momentum, I think there is and I worked within payers on a lot of the changes taking place. There is a very strong recognition that it is in their interest to enable providers and equip them with the tools necessary to deliver high quality care, because that will actually ensure high quality care actually translates into lower costs for a payer. And so there is a strong recognition of that. And I think there have been multiple experiments, you know, some that have worked, that haven't worked.
Well, look at the explosion of telehealth as a result of the pandemic, when no one knew how to spell telehealth, and all of a sudden right. It was everywhere. That was one of the great changes on top. You know, if there was any kind of silver lining, was a tremendous advancement in that area. I would think that that's a positive sign as far as the relationships yes. with doctors and patients.
Exactly. And I think what enabled it was, I mean, the pandemic spurred it, but what really enabled it was a very quick recognition that we needed to change, you know, reimbursement policies and some regulatory policies. And you saw the impact, right? It actually has helped improve access. But I think some of the other areas that I would, and actually this also touches upon what we're doing at NSAP, or what we aspire to do eventually, is the recognition that payers actually need to work with provider groups which have certain scale, equip them with the right tools to start managing risk for some of the really entrenched chronic conditions or, you know, high-cost issues that come up. And in the realm of podiatry, actually, and it's interesting, you know, my fellow guest is someone who's very relevant to this. It is within diabetes and you know, lower limb ulcers, et cetera. And so I think what I'm seeing
that's
now...
That's a gigantic area. We have between obesity... Yeah. I've been talking about childhood obesity for three decades. Yeah. I've been talking about obesity, again, whether it's the effect on the foot, the effect on posture, et cetera. But the idea that we have a gigantic diabetes plague in the United States, around the world. This is a gigantic problem. And organizations like LEAP, Lower Extremity Amputation Prevention, and my old instructor in podiatry school, Dr. Larry Rubin, trying to get these screenings done in large areas. You know, you talk about the insurance industry. If we don't, between obesity and childhood obesity, it'll break us as a society. We can't afford what it costs to take care of these patients once these things really, really get entrenched.
Exactly. I mean, I was looking at one study. It's $1.5 billion across Medicare as well as private health insurers managing complications.
The shocker is that 80% of diabetic amputations are preventable.
This
is just shocking. They are preventable with some simple, proactive, that's why I really wanted your influence involved in this area when you're dealing with these gigantic organizations and companies to try to get them to really pay attention. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, you can go back years, an international guest, national guest, local guest, with a tremendous umbrella of topics in all areas of sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. We have thousands and thousands of followers, lots of action. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read a lot about the excitement with MVP Parent Magazine, Low Extremity Review. Still the hottest article, though, is Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge, at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. If you want to get some great information, follow us on Twitter. As long as that lasts. We're talking with Dr. Salman Khan, and he is involved as the CEO of the National Foot and Ankle Partners. What are you looking to accomplish as you put together these podiatrists, foot and ankle surgeons, and looking to move into this organization? What are some of your goals with this group?
Absolutely. Yeah, so I think just dovetailing off of what we were saying, one of the key issues is in the current healthcare environment, it is going to be increasingly hard for physicians to practice in solo or, you know, small practices. They do it, but it's challenging. And so we want to actually create a platform where we are bringing all these individual practices and aggregating them, but doing it in a way that really retains a sense of autonomy for private practitioners and really, you know, enhances the experience while taking off the financial as well as administrative burden off of them. So it's very much focused on that.
What's the website, yes. Samit, for people to find out about you and the organization? What's the best area to look?
Yes, it's nationalfootanklepartners.com. I'll just repeat, okay. nationalfootanklepartners.com. That's just one word, and then .com. And so that's actually the crux of it. And by the way, I have a lot of empathy because my wife is a practicing podiatrist, so I actually, you know, fully understand, you know, that world. But the reality is, through aggregation, you actually are able to generate economies of scale, which allows you to have more resources to invest in the patient care experience. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that, secondly, because that's, you know, the second pillar of this entire model. So the first way we do that is because we take all the administrative work away from the practitioners while still giving them the benefit of almost feeling like, you know, they're autonomous and, you know, private practitioners, we allow them to focus on patient care and not be distracted. And that actually in itself enhances the patient experience. Number two is we are going to focus on geographic density. For example, let's take a state and, you know, we will really sort of try to maximize our depth there through aggregating these podiatrists, because that then gives us the ability to work with payers for not only just better contracts and terms, but to go into some kinds of value-based care programs, such as around lower, you know, limb, ulcer prevention, etc., which can only be, you know, successfully executed if you have
getting these podiatrists involved in their communities. I've always made a very big deal on the sports doctor. We want them involved in the school systems, in the park districts, in order, you know, the foot affects all areas of the body. The whole mm-hmm. role of orthotics, alignment, stability, balance, the role of the foot is mm-hmm. still something that general medicine, although they've made a lot of strides, there's a lot of great interaction, there's not a serious sports team in any sport that doesn't include podiatry, and I can't tell you how hard we worked on that end. But the ability, again, whether it is in diabetic screening on the left or it is high-performance mm-hmm. Athlete injury prevention, you know, by the way, what is the best shoe for your son or daughter to be in? All these areas, I feel, are very important criteria when you're looking to really integrate. Of course, adding your expertise with, you know, this whole area of practice management and the mm-hmm. ability of the whole payer insurance world, that craziness, having that expertise up front for these practitioners, I think is a big deal.
Yes, and I think that's really the vantage point that I'm coming in with. Of course, you know, as a physician myself and then a wife who's a podiatrist, I actually have an understanding of the front end, but I've spent so much time on the corporate side of healthcare.
Well, you know, I knew this, we would run out of time. Give me again these things. We'll definitely have you back. Talk about all these directions. Give me again the website. People could find out about you and the group.
The website is nationalfootanklepartners.com.
NationalFootAnklePartners.com. Dr. Salman Khan, thank you so much. Hold on. Be right back, everybody. Sure. Sports Doctor, we're heading to Nigeria.
Hey,
everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. From Chicago, it is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. We are going to Nigeria with Kalu Confidence. She's a health copywriter. The Leap Alliance, Lower Extremity Amputation Prevention Alliance, Diabetes Prevention Advocate. She's a physiotherapist. Kalu, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much. I feel honored.
Great. Well, so am I. Please give us some background on yourself and your involvement with the Leap Alliance.
Okay. Thank you for the question. My name is Carlo Confidence Noma. Okay. I'm a physiotherapist, a health copywriter, and content writer. My association with Leap Alliance started on May, when Dr. Robinson, Lawrence Robinson, contacted me, Lawrence Rubin contacted me. He wanted me to help him out with some research, but then we started talking about what LEAP, I started asking so many questions about what LEAP is all about, and then he told me about their mission, and I got interested, and he asked if we can bring the mission down to Africa. And I said, yes, we can. And he told me how to do it, and we did it.
How big a problem, Kalu? It is a gigantic problem in the United States, diabetes and all of the consequences. How big a problem is the world of diabetes in your world?
It's a very big problem. In fact, we found it challenging to get the diabetic patients in a particular place because most of them don't have access to health care or hospital. So in order to get a very large number of them, we decided to go to a worship place because in Africa, we can be very religious and we know that almost everybody has access to a worship place. So we decided to target the worship places like the churches. That is the only way we are able to get a very large number of diabetic patients. It's really a challenging thing here, and most of them don't have access to health care.
Well, you also have a big, you know, you have a big footwear. It's a big barefoot population in so many areas, and it's not necessarily great footwear, and that, of course, adds to the concern. Now, of course, you as a physiotherapist, the whole world of the importance of exercise, the whole world, again, of keeping people active. So this, again, this fits in with a lot of what you already do. And you also write so much about health articles in your world with the copywriter, true?
Yeah.
You know, when you find the, physiotherapy is a huge area in the United States. You know, physical therapy, treating injuries, preventing problems. How long have you been involved as a physiotherapist?
Since 2019.
Okay. And the are you active in the school world or in the recreational world?
I'm active in clinical world, but I work as a physiotherapist on a specific day just twice a week. So I have a very large amount of time to work as a writer, as a researcher, that is it.
And what are some of the topics that you pay attention to in your blogging and copywriting?
The topic that I love the most is exercise and its effect on mental health. I mean, I even have a publication on that. I love the word of exercise, and I love the word of mental health as well. So
it's a big area on the sports, Dr. Kalu. I call it the mental game, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their parents, whether you're their coach, whether you're trying to stick with your exercise program. It's interesting with the last few years with the pandemic, wherever in the world I would have guests on, almost whatever their topic, they were talking about mental health and how important it was. I would imagine, again, that it's as big a deal in Nigeria as it is anywhere else as a result of the whole pandemic challenge.
Yeah, it is. We are creating a lot of awareness. We are telling people the massive benefits of exercise.
How have you found in the area, again, of the lower extremity amputation prevention, how have you found the interaction with other therapists or doctors, even podiatrists? Are there podiatrists in Nigeria, Kalu?
Oh, I just started searching for them because Dr. Larry asked me to start searching for them. We actually thought we were going to limit it to prevention, like preventing the amputation due to diabetes peripheral neuropathy. But at time, because of the success we recorded in doing the food screening, Dr. Larry wanted us to do better. He wanted us to go look for podiatrists. And those at the risk of the neuropathy should meet those doctors. So we just started talking about it. And sure, we're going to carry it out. And we're going to do it. We're going to start looking for it. So I'm going to start talking for podiatrists. I believe there are some of them in Nigeria, and I'm going to fix them up.
Dr. Larry is my old podiatry medical school professor. Right. He was one of my teachers way, way back when. He's been involved with this challenge since 13 years, the LEAP Alliance. The general doctors and the people who work, again, you see neuropathy and physiotherapy, people who lose sensation in their feet, sometimes that's some of the first signs. Have you so far seen cooperation from the medical community with what you're trying to do, Kala?
Yes, because first of all, we started the awareness through Lions Club, and in our club we had two health professionals, so it was easy to collaborate with them. But now we want to go outside the club and get involved with other health practitioners. So we recently started talking about it just last week. So I'm sure we're going to have a great result from that.
You know, the Lions Club, Lions Club International, a big shout out, the fact that they pay a lot of attention to health and wellness in all sorts of areas, which is, again, is a lot what in what you write about, the importance of exercise, keeping these kids active. And it's great to see that they're the, one of the originators of what you're doing, and to be able to reach out to the medical community and some of the senior citizen communities, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I don't know how we could have come this far without the help of Lions Club. So a big shout out to them, and a big shout out to other health workers in the club as well.
Yes, and of course the importance, like you talk about, the mind-body connection. We talk about that a lot on the Sports Doctor, and the importance of people who might be dealing with these problems that have so much to do with chronic diseases and chronic problems, and the whole idea of prevention. How big a problem is the amputation side of things that you see in Nigeria, in your world?
It's really a challenging problem because most of the patients don't even know what diabetic peripheral neuropathy is. So when we did the screening, we had to educate them. And like I said, because most of them don't have access to the hospital. So it's really a problem. Amputations are going on daily basis, and these amputations are very much preventable. But because the patients do not have idea what the cost is, they only go to the hospital when they see they have a big ulcer in their leg.
So what's your, give us some examples. Give us some examples, Kyla, of the screening. What are you doing in the screening?
Okay, well, we do in the screening, we first take their for the glucose level, and then we screen their food for sensitivity. We ask the patient to close their eyes, and then we touch the food and ask them if they feel anything. It's with a filament, so it doesn't cause any pain or any harm. So we touch it with a monofilament for testing the food sensitivity. And when we touch their food, we ask them if they feel anything. The person either says yes or no. So when you keep touching different points and the person keeps saying no, 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 you know this person has started losing sensation in the foot. And if this person doesn't see a doctor, the person might have an ulcer in future and the patient won't know about it. So that was how we did the test.
Yes, and of course the importance of being able even to look, you know, the foot is one of the first areas, the eyes on the other side of the body is the other, where people can be suspicious of diabetes. In my long podiatry career, often we would see patients who were talking about their feet, maybe were numb or they were getting burning sensations or cramping, and then we would then find out and investigate that they were early diabetics and try to refer them to their regular doctor. And, of course, the importance of nutrition is such a big deal. I want to talk to you more about that. We're talking to Kalu Confidence in Nigeria, and we will be right back. It's the Sports Doctor.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is a well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. We are talking in Nigeria with Kalu Confidence. She's a physiotherapist, yeah, and she's an advocate of the Leap Alliance. What is the website, Kalu, that people could find out about you, your copywriting, and your group?
They can find my website is www.normaphysio.com. Or you can contact me via LinkedIn, Kalu Confidence Norma.
We were talking right before the break about, you know, the importance of nutrition, that whole side of things. Again, the education of these patients who might be dealing, again, with early diabetes and the whole idea. You know, once we start dealing with ulcers and we start dealing with excessive pressures, that's sometimes when we get into trouble. How much attention do you pay to the education and nutrition side?
We pay huge attention to the education, because when we succeeded in gathering the patients at one particular place, we spent time educating them. We educated them on everything they need to know about diabetic foot ulcer. And yes, we might not really done much about the nutrition, because we had no nutritionist to prescribe some food or meal plans for them, but we touched it a bit by telling them what to prevent. But then we did very well when it comes to educating them on food ulcer and nutrition prevention.
You know, the importance, again, we talked about it at the beginning of the show with you, proper foot gear is such a big deal. There's a whole industry of diabetic shoe opportunities in order to unload areas. Many times, again, we might see people who have calluses on the bottom of their feet, areas of excessive pressure that can start to break down the tissues, and it's so important. Yeah. To be able to properly align the foot, the inclusion of orthotics, custom devices to properly align and position the foot. Do you find that you've got to educate some of the general doctors also into paying attention for the whole foot mechanics? You know, does that patient have, do they have high arches, flat feet? You know, what's that foot mechanics like? How do you pay attention to that?
Well, when we educated them, first of all, I would like to talk about the proper footwear. When Dr. Larry and I discussed about picking provision for proper footwear for those that are positive to the test, then we decided that we're going to sort out for podiatrists and those that are specialists in that area to handle them. But then when we educated them, we also looked at what they are actually wearing at the sport. And we told them in the language they understood whether the footwear was good or bad for them, explaining to them how the pressure sore can occur. So we did our best according to what we had, and then we came back and had a meeting on how to sort for proper footwear for those that are positive.
Because as a physiotherapist, you must work with active people. Do you work with any people who are active athletically?
I worked with some active people. I worked with some nurses.
Because, again, the so many knee problems, so many back problems, so many hip problems are related to foot mechanics. And sometimes we see, again, your area of expertise as a physiotherapist is many times where somebody's coming to deal with either preventing injuries in sports or enhancing their performance. And there are great athletes who also are dealing with diabetes.
Oh, you asked if I've ever worked with athletes. I've not really worked with athletes.
How about the senior population? Yes, the senior citizens, and again, with your trying to work with these screenings and protocols and organizations, are you working with any of the schools? Who are you reaching out to in order to include in your screenings?
For now, we are strictly on the worship places. And then we are going for hospitals to ask for doctors, collaboration of doctors, nurses, or different health workers that specializes in management of diabetes. But then we are always using the worship places as a gathering place, as a venue where we can get many patients.
How many people do you think? How long have you been involved with this LEAP challenge, Kalu?
I've been involved for a few months. I just started, so I have so much to learn. This is not something I'm used to. So
I think it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Again, that's why we want to give such a shout out to you, because again, the world of physical therapy and physiotherapy, the whole health and wellness area is a gigantic area to be paying attention. How many people have come through your screenings, just roughly?
Oh, we screen more than 200 patients.
That's excellent. What have been some of the age groups that you've seen?
Oh, there are between 40 to 70.
And is it about equal male and female?
No, the ladies, the women, we are more than the men. And we also have more women that tested positive to the neuropathy screening test than men.
How do you see the area, again, like I mentioned before, we talk so much about obesity and that relationship, and the people that you've seen, how is the obesity connection?
Yes, the ladies, we are more obese. And the men, only about few of them, like I would say 30%, we are obese. But the ladies, about 80%, we are obese.
Now, the people who do the surgeries, the doctors who are involved in the amputations, in the whole world of diabetes, are they becoming aware of the great service that you're beginning to provide?
I wouldn't know how to answer that, but one thing I know is that during our screening, we entertained a lot of press conference and they published it in different newspapers, and they also making awareness for future screening.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to have a radio show to send them. Ha! now you can have something really that's going to really talk about, because this has been excellent, talking about your involvement and what you're looking for and how important this situation is for the communities where you are, and then be able to, are you looking to see that maybe some cooperation with some other countries in the African world?
Yes.
Give me the website again, Akela. I knew the time would fly with you. Give me the website again. People could find out about you and your copywriting and your program.
www.normacicio.com. Or you can just check me out on my LinkedIn, Carl Confidence Norma.
Yes, spell that. Spell out the website, Kayla, quickly. Spell it.
NormaCicio.com.
Great. Carl Confidence. Carl, hold on. I'm going to be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of sports doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent, with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, everybody. It is the Sports Doctor's In segment, where we preview some upcoming shows and guests. We add a little Bob Guida wisdom, and we answer a few emails. Next week, we've got Dr. Don Landry. He is the medical chair of Columbia University. They work with the Yankees. They are involved in so many different areas of medicine. And he's also, a running partner of our colleague here on my radio show, Noah Perlis, the 75-year-old sprinting champion. Dr. Don, I think, races him all the time. And then Veronica Kapperman, she's very involved in the world of youth sports performance. We're looking forward to her. And then we've got a return guest, music superstar, Michelle Blood, who now is very, very involved in the whole mental side of affirmations. She's written books and programs was a big music rock star in Australia. And then Tasha Hayes, she's a fabric specialist, MIT graduate, very involved in the world of hurdle apparel, their socks and their technologies. So some great stuff always on the Sports Doctor. You know, Bob Guida made a big deal out of deep soft tissue massage therapy. He wore out three different chiropractic machines called G5s, dealing with acute injuries, all sorts of sports injuries, trying to quicken healing by deep soft tissue, sometimes very deep, very specific, other times very general areas. you would call it vibrational medical treatment, and it was really extremely helpful in areas of recovery and sports injuries. Some emails. Phil says, my 14-year-old son plays multiple sports. He's probably had three or four instances of ingrown toenails with his big toes. Can this be gotten rid of? Yes, it can. So one of the most common procedures in podiatry is permanent removal of ingrown toenails. Just the edge that's causing the discomfort, infection, or inflammation. The area is numbed up. It's an office procedure. The area, whether it's one side of a big toe, whether it's all four sides of both big toes, to permanently cauterizing the growth cells. Behind the cuticle are the growth cells. And as long as those growth cells are present, even if the nail is clipped back or something's done palliatively, the ingrown toenail comes back. If your son's in that category, see podiatry, and they'll solve that problem with a very, very, usually it's a Band-Aid in a couple of days. It's not that big a deal to permanently get rid of that ingrown toenail. Check it out. Jerry wants to know, a chapter in your book, you talk about the prodigy sports. Talk about that a little. The prodigy sports are a big deal, Jerry. Why the prodigy sports? Because as a sports medicine doctor, athletic trainers, physical therapists, we preach, we want young athletes to play multiple sports. We want them using different areas of the body, having different sports to really benefit from. Yet, there are sports. One of my big specialties, figure skating, is one of them, where that 10, 11, or 12-year-old has decided this is what they want to do. They don't want to play other sports. Gymnastics is another example. So is tennis and soccer, where we see these young kids, volleyball, swimming, where they want to specialize very early. And if that's the case, we want to stop fighting and arguing with them and then get serious about setting up programs to prevent trouble. I'll usually have these kids and their families make sure they're seeing the athletic trainer and or a physical therapist, sports medicine doctor, and to get on a program with that in mind. Think of the tennis player swinging a racket 500 times a week. Again, getting back to Bob Guida, he'd say, we got to strengthen those opposites, man. That pitcher, we got to work those opposites of the shoulder and the neck, all these areas that are used to prevent problem. Again, in the world of figure skating, with all that jumping, the strengthening of the feet and ankles, the working of balance and stability. So the prodigy sports are a reality, and we need to understand that if that's the goal, ideally, we would like these young boys or girls to maybe start specializing when they're 14 years old or over, when they've had an opportunity to play a lot of different sports. It surprises a lot of people. 80% of the gold medalist women's soccer team over the years, 80% of them played multiple sports, didn't specialize till later. So pay attention. Steve says, my 12-year-old daughter plays serious volleyball. She's been dealing with knee problems. They call it jumper's knee. She's had physical therapy. She's seen doctors. She didn't tear anything. You know, Steve, I've worked with volleyballers since the late 70s with the Olympic teams. They've come to see Bob Guida. He was their strength and conditioning specialist. And we found so many knee problems were foot mechanics related. I've had such success over the years, volleyball being one of them, figure skating another, especially in young females. The adolescent girls who are going through puberty, their hips are widening. There's more of an angle down to the knee called the Q angle. So foot mechanics are even more important. But one of the reasons there are 4-5-1 ACL tears, girls to boys, females to males, is some of these biomechanics are involved. So see sports podiatry. See, look at custom orthotics. We've had great success. When it's added to everything else you're doing, to the strengthening, to the shoe criteria, where the have found that the excessively pronated foot, the foot that flattens excessively, very commonly increases knee torque and pressure on the knees. And orthotics make a huge difference. I can't tell you how many young girls we've seen with that. Again, the jumper's knee, the overuse. Follow all those directions. Make sure you have a proper diagnosis. and include sports podiatry in what you're doing. You know, we talk a lot about that in the book. It's still a bestseller. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, my co-author, volleyball Hall of Famer, yoga instructor, college professor, Sharkey Zartman. The book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. The second part of the book is The Sports Doctor's In. We talk a lot about biomechanics. We talk a lot about what foot and shoe criteria. Sharkey heads up the first section of the book, Sports Parenting 101. Great cartoons in the book in so many different areas. In Sports Parenting 101, she really talks about some of the important areas that parents need to be paying attention to with their young son or daughters, regardless of their age and or level and or sport. The third section of the book is also 8 different experts, nutrition, psychiatry, physical training, parenting, coaching, all these experts throwing in their 2 cents on what it takes pay attention to these areas, again, in parenting the child athlete, where we're really interested in. Number one, we want to prevent problems. The reason we wrote the book, one of the biggest reasons, was the epidemic, in capital letters, of youth sports overuse injuries. Too much, too aggressive, too overscheduling, both physically and mentally. Overzealous parents. I call them Svengali coaches. We're all familiar with the abuses in youth sports. So we want that expertise. The last section of the book is called Parents' Perspectives, where I have about a half a dozen parents who chime in on what they've gone through, their challenges, their goals, ups and downs in parenting the young athlete. What's really exciting and interesting is that almost all of the experts and parents that I just talked about were either parents of patients of mine or radio guests, where, again, we talk about some of these different challenges, the epidemic of overuse sports injuries. You know, one of my frequent guests, the team doctor of the Yankees, Dr. Chris Ahmad, mentioned at one time that adolescents were getting Tommy John elbow surgery from too much throwing. Too much pitching, where again we would see in figure skating, you have quad jumps now in females. When we think back over the great champions, the Michelle Kwans and the some of these other, Christy Yamaguchi and some of these other champions, these women were gold medalists. They didn't even do triples. You know, I talk a lot on the show. Everybody knows and listens. My poster boy, Evan Lysacek, the 2010, can't believe we just celebrated the 13th anniversary, men's Olympic gold medal figure skating champion. He was 10 years old when we put orthotics in his skates. The importance of alignment, again, to you sports parents, if your son or daughter, chronic lower extremity problems, knees, feet and back, persistent problems, pay attention to foot mechanics. Thanks to our friend at BBS Radio. Catch everybody. Thanks for listening. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Fruits and Veggies Month. See ya.